Okay, we're back, Joey Pals, visiting with the one and only Bill Marx. We're so blessed to have him in our zip code, as it were, here in the Coachella Valley. Let's go through the career. Now, you've gone to New York. How old were you?
I was late 17, almost 18 years old, and I would experience my first Christmas away from home and my first my 18th birthday away from home. And it was pretty weird. I didn't know what I was doing, but they gave me a one-way ticket, and they said, "You go there, and you'll find." And you excuse me. They felt that I was capable of doing it. So I immediately enrolled in New York University, NYU, and in 3 months, I managed to get mononucleosis, okay?
The kissing disease.
That's right. Anyway, both the mono and the sclerosis got me in bed for a couple of months until I felt better. And I remember to this day, they used to have a thing called a Columbus Day Parade and down Fifth Avenue. And it was my first day really out on the streets and all of that kind of thing. And I decided, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I applied at Gimbel's department store, where I wound up in the toy department, cowboy suits, guns, holsters, and rifles.
Oh, my.
And I would work at Gimbel's all the way through to the end of that year, from October to the rest of the year. And in that time, Dad was suggesting from home that I really ought to try to apply to Juilliard to see if I could get in, because I'd done a lot of arranging for him and I had written a bunch of stuff. And so I applied as a composer. And
how old were you now?
Well, 18.
Oh, geez.
And somehow or another, they were foolish enough, or pulled sheep over their eyes, and they let me in because I had presented them with a couple of legitimate, you know, non-popular music type things, not songs, but they're really, yeah, kind of stuff like that. And so I wound up studying at Juilliard for 3 years. And the fourth year, my composition instructor said, "Yeah, you don't need me anymore. Go back to L.A. and get some studio smarts." So I went back to L.A. and I wound up studying with one of the most wonderful people that I've ever experienced being a part of their lives. And his name was Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco.
Tedesco's a name we know.
Yeah.
From the Wrecking Crew, Tommy Tedesco.
Yeah, he was part of the family. Mario Castelnuovo, I'm trying to remember his name now, it's so long. He and I studied with him for a while, but he was getting up there in age, and then the next thing I knew, I was playing jazz piano in little clubs in Los Angeles, and I wound up for a period of 5 years as the house pianist at a place called Dino's Lodge, Dean Martin's place. Yeah. Never once saw him there. He was wonderful. He owned 3% of the deal, except that he never saw any money. He never cared. But when you drove down Sunset Boulevard, you'd see his face in neon lights, and that was enough advertisement that he needed. I mean, that was thousands of dollars worth of free advertising. So it was his club, and I played there and a bunch of other places in Los Angeles when I was getting started in the studio business, yeah. And when I wasn't composing, I was playing in little clubs.
Do you consider yourself a pianist, a composer, a writer, an arranger, all of the above? Is there something you would like to do in your industry that you haven't?
No, as a matter of fact, I've done everything I think I could to destroy any career whatsoever I might have had. I don't consider myself a pianist. I don't have the technique that pianists, the physical stuff, Mr. Horowitz and Mr. Rubinstein. I consider myself a composer that plays the piano. And I think more orchestratively than pianistically when I play the piano.
But you don't write particularly pop. You write symphonic things, don't you?
I write everything. I don't think there's anything I haven't written in terms of any kind of music, whether it's symphonic or stage, screen, country and western, rock. I've done it all. And you have to do that when you're writing music for motion pictures, because the venues change and you're required to know. I lived in a log cabin for a week in Custer, South Dakota, to learn the rudiments of Sioux Indian music, because I was writing a score for a young American Indian who came back from the war. So I had to know all of that kind of stuff. And I also wrote a ballet, which involved an American Indian boy and a Caucasian girl.
I got to tell you, though, Bill, let me toot your own horn, my French horn. No, sorry. Private joke, Joey Pals. It's much more involved to be able to assimilate all those different types of music and different feelings. I mean, you're incredibly gifted. That's a wonderful talent. Not everybody who can play the piano can do that to the extent that you do it. You're wonderful.
Well, the way I look at it is I take no credit for my musicality, my musical ability, but I do take credit in honoring it. It's a gift I was given. And when you want to be a baseball player as a child and you wind up forcing yourself into music reluctantly until you realize it's the only thing I'm really capable of doing, that's where it was. So I really had to honor my gift.
Isn't it funny when you think of people like Lou Gehrig, and he used to play with broken fingers, right? That was 180 degrees from where you ended up. You had to take care of your hands, so the baseball thing would not have worked out.
Well, and neither would the musical thing have worked out, you know.
Did your parents live long enough to see your success?
Oh, my dad did, and so did my mom. Yes. Dad and I, we toured for 12 solid years on and off. I was with him every moment of his theatrical life. I will always remember his final show with Alan Sherman at the Pasadena.
Hello,
yeah, at Pasadena Civic Auditorium, where he announced his retirement from show business. It was the 45th announcement of his retiring, and he had retired 44 times. But this was the 45th and the final one. I remember Steve Allen was in the audience and a few other people, and my dad came out, and I'm standing in the wings. And Dad said, unaccustomed, and he started speaking to the audience. Well, the place went crazy. And
'cause he never talked, Joey Pals. Catch on.
That's right. He made a career out of pantomime. And I thought to myself more recently when writing my book, I thought if I could only be on the stage just once more with my dad, just once more, it would make my life even more complete than it is.
We all feel that way. But thank goodness we can still see the Marx Brothers in so many wonderful ways. Their movies are on Turner Classic Movie all the time. I see the I Love Lucy episode that we all love. Okay, Joey Pals, we finished our second segment with the one and only Bill Marx. So let's take a break and we'll come back with the future.